Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, my week three recap, guys, we'll go through, of course, we'll talk about the passing of a couple of coaches, one a legendary coach. We'll talk about that. Also, Miles Turner returns to Indiana as a Milwaukee Buck. We'll talk about that as well. And Draymond Green is at it again, guys. So, of course, you know I got to go in. So we'll talk about that as well and much more. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And, guys, we are up to week four now in the NBA. So it's early still. At least we're 10 games in, so we can give some proper analysis where it needs to be. So, but nonetheless, we'll be doing the week three recap. Go through all the happenings and so forth. So without any further delay, let's get to it. Of course, we'll start with the players of the week for week three, starting in the East. How about Cade Cunningham, guys, for the red hot Detroit Pistons, guys? His team went 4-0 for the week. Three of those games on the road. At Memphis, they got a win there. Then at home against the Utah Jazz. Then on the road again in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center and playing the Nets. And in Philly, beating the Sixers. For the week, Cade Cunningham averaged 31 points per game. Wow. Nearly 10 assists, guys, and over 3 rebounds. He shot it a blazing 54.7% from the field, guys. You talk about electric basketball. And then from 3, 9 of 25, you'll take that. And then from the free throw line, 27 attempts, he made 21 of them. So there you go. But Cade Cunningham, picking up where he left off last season, guys, his all-star campaign, and his hot Pistons team. So, Cade Cunningham, your player of the week in the Eastern Conference. Then in the West, let's talk about the Joker, Nikola Jokic. His team went 4-0 for the week for the Denver Nuggets. They were at home all week, guys, so some nice home cooking for them, beating the Sacramento Kings, the Miami Heat, the Golden State Warriors, and the Indiana Pacers, guys. And for the week, the Joker, of course, averages a triple-double for the week, over 31 points per game, over 13 assists per game, guys. Wow. And over 11 rebounds as well. And throw into that 2 steals per game, guys. He shot it from the field, guys, 69.5%. Wow. Talk about obliteration. And then from the free throw line, he was 18 for 20. So there you go. So that was the kind of week the Joker had. Of course, playing MVP basketball. So that is your players of the week, guys. Let us continue. Top story, guys. We no longer have an undefeated team. We no longer have winless teams. OKC gets knocked from the undefeated rankings. And this happened on Wednesday, November 5th, they actually lost at Portland to the Trailblazers, guys. The Trailblazers are one of those surprise teams early on. They're 5-4, guys. And they took this game 121-119. They were down at one point 22 points to the Thunder. And they came back for the win, guys. Let's talk about Dene Avdija. This guy is playing outstanding basketball. In this game, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. So nearly a triple-double for him, and throw in 2 steals. Drew Holiday's playing well for them, guys. 22 points in that game at 6 rebounds. And then off the bench, Jeremy Grant playing well coming off the bench, guys. 20 points with 5 rebounds and 5 assists. SGA, of course, doing SGA things. 35 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. But OKC loses, and now they have a blemish on their record now. So there you go. So OKC no longer undefeated. And then as far as the winless teams go, Brooklyn Nets finally gets a win. On the same night, in fact, Wednesday, November 5th. And they do it at Indiana, guys, taking the game 112-103. And this game, they were down at half, 59-54. And then in the third quarter, after three quarters was done, they were down by 3. So inching closer. And then in the fourth quarter, they turned it on. In that game, Michael Porter Jr., being the star for that team, 33 points and 11 rebounds, so he gives you a double-double. Nick Claxton has a double-double as well, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Add to that 3 steals and 2 blocks for him. And then on the losing side, Pascal Siakam, 23 points. He's playing great, guys, along with 9 assists and 6 rebounds for him. So now you have teams with at least a win, and Brooklyn Nets into that conversation there. Oh, by the way, Indiana stuck on 1 win as well. So there you go. So, all right, guys. So that's it for that. Let's talk about a legendary coach passing, guys. Lenny Wilkins. Lenny Wilkins passes away at the age of 88. He's a Hall of Fame player and a Hall of Fame coach, guys. Born in Brooklyn, New York. And in my eyes, he started the legacy, if you will, of the New York City point guards. You know, we talk a lot about that as far as that goes. Guys like Pearl Washington, guys like Kenny Smith, guys like Mark Jackson. We can go on and on. Kenny Anderson, Rod Strickland. But Lenny Wilkins was the forerunner to all those guys. He played for Boys High School. This was before it became Boys and Girls. Hailing out of Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, was where Lenny Wilkins had grew up and learned to play basketball. So Boys High School is where he went. Then he would go on to college to Providence, where he would be a 2-time All-American, leading those teams. Back in the day, the NIT was the thing. So he led them all the way to the finals in his senior year, guys. So there you go there. But he gets drafted in 1960. He's the 6th pick overall in that draft, guys, by the St. Louis Hawks. And that's the same draft where Oscar Robertson goes number 1 and Jerry West number 2. So you got 3 Hall of Fame guards in that draft right there, guys. As a player, Lenny Wilkins, played 8 years with the St. Louis Hawks. And then from there, 4 years with the Seattle Supersonics, 2 years in Cleveland playing for the Cavaliers, and then 1 year he had with the Portland Trailblazers. 9 all-star appearances, guys. And in one of those appearances, he won all-star MVP. He led the league in assists 1 year. He's on the 50th and the 75th anniversary team, guys. That's how great a ball player he was. And at the time of his retirement, he was the assist leader in the entire NBA. So there you go. And as a coach, even more legendary, guys. Spending 11 years with the Seattle Supersonics. Actually, he did 2 stints there. First 3 years, then he went to Portland for 2 years, and then back to Seattle. And while at Portland, he kind of set the stage for that championship team that you saw in 1977, guys. It was Lenny Wilkins who laid the groundwork for that team to eventually win the championship, which they did under Dr. Jack Ramsey. But in Seattle, he wins the championship of his own in 1979, guys, where he had the electric backcourt of Dennis Johnson and Gus Williams. Then after Seattle, guys, he goes to Cleveland, where he spends 7 years there as a coach. Then also coaching the Atlanta Hawks for 7 years, the Toronto Raptors for 3 years, and then two years that was kind of forgettable because they didn't give him the horses, guys, here with the New York Knicks. So there you go. So overall, guys, he becomes the first coach to win 1,000 games, guys. First coach to do that. And at the time of his retirement, he was the all-time leading coach as far as wins goes until Don Nelson breaks his record. And then after that, Greg Popovich breaks Don Nelson's record. So his overall record, 1,332 wins against 1,155 losses. So that gives him a 53.6 win percentage, guys. One coach of the year that he won, he's coached the All-Star team 4 times, guys. And he made top 10 lists of coaches all time and top 15 after that. He also, guys, was an assistant coach with the original Dream Team in 1992. So winning gold there. And then later, 1996 in Atlanta, fittingly so, he's the head coach of Dream Team 2, guys. And Dream Team 2, a lot of people make a case for Dream Team 2 being the superior team, even over Dream Team 1. This was who they had on the squad, guys. They had 5 holdovers from the Dream Team: Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Scottie Pippen, and David Robinson. Then they added to that guys like Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway, who was playing phenomenal basketball at that time, Mitch Richmond, also known as The Rock, or Rock, Reggie Miller at the time, outstanding sharpshooter. Shaquille O'Neal, who many said should have made the original Dream Team. Hakeem Olajuwon, that was huge because at the time of the Dream Team, he wasn't a naturalized citizen as of yet. So when this Olympic rolled around, he was able to join the Olympic team. And then it was supposed to be Glenn Robinson getting the last spot, but he gets injured. So as a replacement, they bring in Gary Payton, outstanding replacement as well, and a critical piece nonetheless. So again, a lot of people make an argument about Dream Team 2 being better than Dream Team 1. We could have that debate on another day, but there you go. But Lenny Wilkins, of course, will be sorely missed, guys. And of course, the well wishes were plentiful. In fact, I'll read to you what the commissioner had to say about him, and then a few of his contemporaries as well. Hang on one moment. Have it right here. And this is from the commissioner, Adam Silver. This is his statement. Lenny Wilkins represents the very best of the NBA. As a Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame coach, and one of the game's most respected ambassadors. So much so that 4 years ago, Lenny received the unique distinction of being named one of the league's great 75 greatest players and 15th greatest coaches of all time. But even more impressive than Lenny's basketball accomplishments, which included 2 Olympic gold medals and a NBA championship, was his commitment to service, especially in his beloved community of Seattle, where a statue stands in his honor. He influenced the lives of countless young people, as well as generations of players and coaches who consider Lenny not only a great teammate or coach, but also an extraordinary mentor who led with integrity and true class. I send my heartfelt condolences to Lenny's wife, Marilyn, their children, Leisha, Randy, and Jamie, and all those throughout the NBA community who were fortunate to be touched by Lenny's leadership and generosity. That's from Adam Silva. And then you get coaching contemporaries like, well, coaches who are here now. Steve Kerr had this to say. I think he's the only guy I know who's a Hall of Fame player and a Hall of Fame coach. 2 different ways. Maybe there's 1 or 2 others. I didn't watch him play. I wasn't old enough to see him play, but reading about his game and how talented he was, and that he ended up breaking the all-time wins record as a coach. What a career. So that's what Steve Kerr had to say. And this is from Rick Carlisle, coach of the Indiana Pacers. I ended up following him as president of the NBCA, and that's the union for the coaches. He did a lot of things to further the profession. The pension, benefits, coaching salaries rose significantly during his time. He was a great representative to the league office, advocating for coaches and the things that coaches experienced that a lot of people didn't know about. Lenny was a great communicator with things like that. The thing that I'll always remember, he's such a great gentleman and such an eloquent human being, along with being a super competitive coach. He's still way up there in all-time victories. Very, very special man. He'll be missed, but he'll be remembered. And that is from Rick Carlisle. And you get, then you have former players of his like Detlef Schrempf. He had this to say: you set the standard of what it means to lead and have an impact in our community. You will be missed dearly. That's from Detlef Schrempf. So, you know, the well wishes and condolences are rolling in from many a player. So, there you have it. And I'll read this final one for now. This is from the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks franchise. Beyond his excellence as a player and a coach, he was an innovator, a trailblazer, a winner, and a leader, not just in Atlanta, but every community in which he played and coached. In addition to his numerous achievements, Lenny always carried himself with calm dignity and undeniable class and grace. So there you have it. So, of course, we wish condolences to his family. Sending love and light their way and prayers as well. So there you have it. Lenny Wilkins passing away at the age of 88. And then we have the passing of Richie Adubato. And he passes away at 87. Born in Irvington, New Jersey, he played for the Clifford Scott High School in Jersey, where he played baseball, guys. He actually was on three of the state title teams, guys. And then he would go on to Uppsala College. And then from there to William Patterson University, where he would be a coach. He would be a player for the baseball team and for the basketball team. Actually, he captained both teams. So there you have it. He coached Our Lady of the Valley High School and then also at Uppsala College. He coached there as well. He would then be added to as an assistant coach in 1978. He's added as an assistant coach with the Detroit Pistons under head coach Dick Vitale. He would later be named interim coach after Dick Vitale gets fired 12 games into the season. And he would go on, and that team was not good. He would finish 12-58. He would later coach the Dallas Mavericks for 3.5 seasons between 1989 up until 1993. He finished with a 94-170 record, guys. He also coached the Orlando Magic after Brian Hill was fired. He was an interim coach again, finishing out that season 21-12, thus making the playoffs, but losing in the first round. And then from the NBA, he would coach in the WNBA. He actually joined the New York Liberty, was coaching there in 1999 up until 2004. There he saw success, guys. He finished 100 wins and 78 losses. His Liberty teams made the finals three times, guys, and the conference finals once. Then he would go on to coach the Washington Mystics for three seasons there. He finished 34-38 with a first-round appearance in one of those years. Also, guys, on his NBA resume, he was assistant coach not only in Detroit, in Dallas, and in Orlando. He was also a assistant coach for the New York Knicks during the 80s, and then also with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then he would later become a color analyst for the Orlando Magic. So Richie Adubato passes away at 87. Now, of course, we send the same well wishes to his family, condolences, prayers, and all those things. So, all right, guys, so let's gently move on. Injuries, guys. Another year, another injury for LaMelo Ball, guys. He has missed three games and bound to miss Monday night's game, November 10th, against the Lakers. So that'll be his fourth. And this, of course, is a result of an ankle injury, guys. He has a litany of that in his history. So that situation will bear watching, I'm sure. The Charlotte Hornets want to play it cautious with him, so they'll treat him with kid gloves. So we'll see what happens. So in the interim, guys like Colin Sexton, guys like Trey Mann will benefit from his absence, being able to get some minutes there. But LaMelo Ball out with an ankle injury. Let us move on. Speaking of familiarity with injuries, Zion Williamson out, guys, three games and possibly more with what else? A hamstring injury, guys. Not a stranger to that for him. So we'll see what happens this week, whether he's able to get back on the court. So in the interim, guys like Sadiq Bey will see some minutes. Of course, Herb Jones as well. So, but Zion Williamson, again, the injury bug has hit him. So there you go. Bad news for Walker Kessler. We talked about him last week, guys. He is out for the season with that shoulder injury, guys. So Walker Kessler, done for the season. So, of course, the immediate beneficiary, Josef Nurkic, who himself has an injury history. So, guys, I would pay close attention to Kyle Filipowski, because Nurkic has an injury history too, guys. So I would keep my eyes on Kyle Filipowski, especially if you're playing fantasy basketball. Maybe you got a slot there. I say pick up Kyle Filipowski and stash him, because I think, like, as the season goes on, he'll get his chance to shine. I believe that out there in Utah. So, but Walker Kessler out for the season, guys, unfortunately. Let us continue. Bam Adebayo for the Miami Heat suffers a toe injury, guys, in the first quarter of a loss to the Denver Nuggets, actually on Wednesday, November 5th. So he's been out two games and counting, guys. And a lot of people saying he dodged a major injury. So that's good news for Bam. So hopefully we'll see him sooner than later. Of course, benefiting right away is Khalil Ward. And then I would say also a Nikola Jovic. I think he could be a beneficiary while Bam is out. So there you have that. But Bam, toe injury, two games so far. We'll see what happens. But thankfully, it's not as serious. So there you go. Cam Thomas, he sustains a hamstring injury, guys. Seem like the hamstring injuries are routine here. Also, on November 5th, in a win, at the Indiana Pacers the night they got their first win, in fact. So Cam Thomas, and he'll be reevaluated, guys, in 3 to 4 weeks. So it's a seems like this is a serious hamstring injury. So we'll see what happens there. And the direct person who's seeing more minutes now, Tyrese Martin. So keep that name in mind, especially if you're in the fantasy realm as I am. So Tyrese Martin. But Cam Thomas, hamstring injury. We'll see in about a month. We'll see where he is. And then another guy who's no stranger to injuries, Kawhi Leonard. He's to miss the next few games, according to Coach Tyronn Lue, with an ankle injury. So far, he's missed 3, guys. So I think that could be more. So we'll see what happens there. But Kawhi, another year, another case of the injury bug hitting him. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, Tyronn Lue will start Nick Batum. And then also you can use guys like Bogdan Bogdanovic. You'll probably have to rely on them for some offense. And a guy like Chris Dunn, perhaps. So, but Kawhi Leonard, missing time. What else is new? But there you go. With an ankle injury. And then the last one I'll talk about, Jalen Green. Now, remember, guys, he missed the first part of the season. He comes back 2 games in, guys. He aggravates his hamstring. So this happens on November 8th on a Saturday. And this is at the L.A. Clippers, guys. Oh, and they got to win that night, by the way. So no timetable yet, guys. They're still evaluating, so we'll see how that goes. But tough break for Jalen Green. You know, he's with his new team now, the Phoenix Suns. So a lot of people are expecting him to pop over there, but that hasn't happened as of yet. He hasn't been able to, you know, get enough time. It's only 2 games in, so there you have that. So tough break. But moving on, we do have some players that's returned from injury. And we'll start with Darius Garland. He missed his first 7 games, guys, but he returns on Wednesday, November 5th. A lot happening that night. So he makes his debut that night in a win versus the Philadelphia 76ers. In the game, he plays 26 minutes, 8 points, and 4 assists for him. So Darius Garland back for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And boy, do they need him, guys. Right now, they're towards the bottom as far as offensive rating. So you need your floor general there. Darius Garland is that guy. So hopefully we'll see a bump up in their offensive rating with Garland back on the floor. And talking about the rich getting richer, guys, De'Aaron Fox, he makes his season debut. He missed the first 8 games with a hamstring injury, and he joins them for a win on Saturday, November 8th, against the New Orleans Pelicans. In the game, guys, he played 31 minutes, 24 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. So he joins a team that is now 7-2 and the biggest surprise in the NBA so far. So De'Aaron Fox joining a young, talented nucleus with the San Antonio Spurs. So there you have it. The Ant-Man's back. Anthony Edwards, he returns to the lineup after missing 4 games with a hamstring injury. And, of course, it's on Wednesday, November 5th, where everything's happening. And he comes back to a loss at Madison Square Garden. You know, everybody loves to play at Madison Square Garden. So there you go. But they do lose that night to the New York Knicks. In that game, he plays 29 minutes, scores 15 points, didn't shoot it all that well. He had 5 assists and 2 steals. But the Ant-Man back for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then good news, guys, if you're a Laker fan, LeBron James, he's beginning basketball activities now, guys. So as of what I just heard, he's practicing with the South Bay Lakers. Remember, that's their G League team where they kept shuttling back and forth Bronny James. So LeBron is down there with the South Bay Lakers practicing, ramping up to get ready to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. He could return this month, guys. That's how close he is to getting back on the court. And he's missed 10 games thus far with the sciatica, which has plagued him thus far. So there you go. So LeBron James, you could see him soon on a basketball court near you for the Lakers. All right, so that's all the injuries, guys. Let us continue. Miles Turner, he makes his return to the Indiana Pacers. Remember, guys, he played there 10 years. He's put in the toil and all the things for that ball club there. Now he joins a Milwaukee Bucks team. And with the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, he's on with that big contract that they gave him, so forth. But during his time with the Indiana Pacers, guys, never made an all-star team, guys. He did lead the league in blocks twice. So there you have it. But a solid career, nonetheless, with the Indiana Pacers. So there you have that. But he comes back on Monday, November 3rd, to a win for the Milwaukee Bucks, 117-115, in a game where it had to be won on a Giannis Antetokounmpo jumper, guys. In that game, Miles Turner, 9 points, 7 rebounds, but get this, 5 blocks, guys. Wow. So there you go. And of course, Giannis leads the way, 33 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. And then on the other side, the person Miles Turner was guarding, Isaiah Jackson, kind of lights him up, guys. 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 steals. So there you have that. But in the end, Miles Turner team gets the win. So there you have that. And then also, they did a video montage for Miles Turner, and the crowd booed him loudly. And as he was sitting there, and when it was done, he made a motion like he was closing the books. In other words, he's closing the book on the chapter as far as his time with the Indiana Pacers, to which some people took issue with that. But, I mean, he was getting booze rained down on him. I understand. I get it, because he went to their arch enemy in the same division, by the way. So, you know, I get that. But, you know, you got to give him a modicum of respect for the time that he had there. 10 years, you know, that's no walk in the park. You got guys who been places 1 year and they'll get a video tribute and all these sort of things. This guy spent 10 years there. So there you have it. So that's how it goes. Anyway, so that is it for that. Last item before I close out. Draymond Green, I tell you, this guy, his antics enough is enough to give me content throughout the entire year. So Draymond decides now, not only he has his basketball podcast, the Draymond Green Show, he decides to venture into a football podcast, which he calls Why Is Draymond Talking About Football? Which, you know, seems like the apt name for it. And he has a co-host, Jordan Schultz, that he does it with, right? So, in this episode, let me just play the sound because, my goodness. I mean, okay, here it is right here. I'll let you hear for yourself, guys. I will let you hear what he had to say. This is Draymond Green speaking about Dak Prescott. Oh, hang on a second. I forgot I turned my volume.
He's getting some numbers and they stink. Dak's a bum.
He's not a bum, dog. He's a quarterback.
No, he's a bum. They'll never win with that. I won 4 championships, Jordan. So you got to understand, when I say bum, I'm not saying Dak Prescott isn't a good NFL quarterback. Of course he's a good NFL quarterback. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when the money's on the line, when it's for all the marbles, who are you? He a bum.
Listen to this.
He good?
So, this is Draymond Green talking about Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Calls him a bum. He mentions the money that he's making. He doesn't come up in the opportune times in the playoffs. So he calls that man a bum. Are we going to call Dan Marino a bum? Are we going to call Dan Fouts a bum? Are we going to call, I can just go on of quarterbacks who has played well, you know, regular season wise, and may not have come up the way you wanted to them to in the playoffs. Are we going to play that game? Are we going to do that? So there's that. And, you know, a lot of people went off on them, namely the Odd Couple. Rob Parker called him a hypocrite because he's supposed to be new media and he has these disparaging things to say about him. Doesn't back it up with numbers. Doesn't do any of that. He talks about the man's salary and so forth. So he, and Rob Parker says this, which I fully agree. If a media person was to take that same line of calling somebody a bum, people like Draymond would call them out because they never played in the league and all these sort of things. So they would take issue with that. Here's what I'm going to say. First of all, why are you doing a football podcast? It's bad enough you're doing the basketball podcast during the season. Draymond, do you need stuff to fill your time? Your team is barely over 500, maybe. Now I'm sounding like the people when they talk about Angel Reese. Maybe you should concentrate on your game and how you can make things better for your team. How about that, Draymond? How about that? And then also, let's take it to the realm of basketball. You got a guy in your locker room who you could say that about. He hasn't won the championship as of yet. Jimmy Butler. So would you say that about Jimmy Butler? Would you call Jimmy Butler a bum because he hasn't delivered and got his team a championship? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't do that. So why are you calling this man a bum? Come on, man. And then quiet as kept, Draymond. You know, a lot of people snicker about you saying that, oh, you know, you're hanging on. Basically, you've been carried by Steph Curry. You've been carried by Klay Thompson and those guys. You've been carried by Kevin Durant and those guys when it comes to winning your championship. You stick out your chest. I won four championships. Really? Really? So what are you even talking about? And then, of course, you know, most of the media went hard at him. Not his buddy Stephen A. No, 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 sir. No, sir. He treated him with kid gloves yet again. Listen to what – I usually don't play this sound, but for the sake of this discussion here, this is Stephen A. talking about his buddy. I think he still considers him a buddy, Draymond Green, about him doing that.
Draymond Green, he took the liberty of talking about Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
That's a bum.
That's not a bum. He's an MVP candidate.
Yeah, that's fine. He's getting some numbers and they stink. I won four championships, Jordan. So you got to understand, when I say bum, I'm not saying Dak Prescott isn't a good NFL quarterback. Of course he's a good NFL quarterback. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when the money's on the line, when it's for all the marbles, who are you? He a bum.
But the story isn't fully written yet.
It's pretty written because now he's making $65 million and it's way harder to win. Like, you got to be so, like, Patty Mahomes good to be, like, that highly paid and still go win. Like, that's a very hard thing to do. Like, it's over.
I thought bum was a bit too excessive. Dak Prescott is not a bum. Dak Prescott is a big-time quarterback in the National Football League. But it is fair to say, when Draymond elaborated on he can play, I'm not saying that, but when the moment arrives, where is he? Draymond Green has a right to ask that question. He's qualified. He would know because Draymond Green's teammate is the babyface assassin that is known as Steph Curry, the greatest shooter.
Well, enough of that. So you heard it yourself, guys. Stephen A. soft-shoeled it once again. You know, he goes hard after certain people, but when it comes to Draymond, he goes limp. Come on. How is he qualified to make a statement about football, giving a critical football analysis? He's not qualified, Stephen A., so stop it. It's always with you. You go soft on this guy. You go hard. If that was Kawhi Leonard saying that nonsense, you go off. Come on, man. See, you be hypocritical in your stuff, man. You don't be consistent. Come on. You know and I know he shouldn't have been talking about that. But you know what it is? He wants to mimic you. He wants to be this big media type now where he could cover this and cover that. So he's following your footsteps, so you don't want to mash his toes. Come on, man. Come off of that. Come off of that. You needed to call him out. And I saw who called him out about that? Well, you know, Mad Dog Russo, he went off on him. So much so, he had to try and clap back at Mad Dog because he's basically saying, you know, Mad Dog's he says that Draymond Green couldn't even get playing time with the 86 Boston Celtics. Oh, my gosh. Marcus Spears, he had to be like, look, what are you doing? What are you even doing with this? Michael Irvin went off on Draymond for going there. So, again, Draymond, what are you even doing that you have all this spare time? You got spare time for your podcast. That's fine. Well, I ain't even going to say that's fine and good because it's not, in all honesty. but I digress. But what are you doing? Starting another podcast? Really? Like there was a need for you to have a podcast talking football. Come on. What are you even doing with that? But, you know, I'm sure this will not be the last time he says something outrageous on a podcast of his. I got to say it like that now that he's got more than one. So I can tell it's going to be a long season, especially dealing with this guy. So there you have it. So, all right, I'm done. But I'm sure I'll be talking more about this guy as the season goes on. Anyway, I thank you for listening. All Things Basketball podcast with your boy GD. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There are my videos, my clips, all the things. Donate, guys. My Cash App, $GD, that sports dude is always in the scroll. $GD, that sports dude. Also, PayPal, buy me a coffee, and Spotify, donate. That's on my website, guys. Go there, hit your boy up. It's the holiday season. Well, getting close to it. Hit your boy up with a few dollars here and there. That'd be great. Also, podcast platforms, I'm on all of them. YouTube, my YouTube channel, LinkedIn, I put the link there for my shows and so forth. And also, guys, social media, Instagram, TikTok, some Blue Sky, some Facebook, and that's it. I thank you for listening. As always, guys, your listenership is so important to what we do with this show. I thank you, as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.